Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that whenever I read this section from John chapter 8, I picture a set from a 90s daytime shock show. Right over here, we have Jesus. He's sitting on his chair, and over there, you have three religious leaders all decked out in their ceremonial garb. And standing kind of right in the middle of them with a microphone is the host. And he starts out the show by saying something like this. Well, our first guest today is Jesus of Nazareth. He's gotten himself into some trouble with the Jewish religious expert because of some bold claims. And of course, before the host can get out another word, the scribes and the Pharisees who are sitting over here start shouting out, "We are the true offspring of Abraham!" Right? And over here, Jesus replies with calm authority, "You are of your father, the devil." And that, of course, gets under their skin, so they stand up and they start pointing their fingers, "You're a Samaritan and you have a demon!" The audience is on their feet, everyone's shouting. The host gets control, and for a moment, he has everyone sit down and he begins again. "As I was saying, Jesus is in hot water over some bold claims. Tell us more, Jesus." Camera pans to Jesus over here, and he looks right at the camera and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who keeps my word will never die." The Pharisees and the scribes are back on their feet. "See, we told you that he has a demon. No one can prevent death. Who says stuff like that? Abraham is dead. So are the prophets. Just who are you making yourself out to be?" The audience then is back up on their feet. The host motions for them to sit down. Finally, they do, mumbling in discontent. But then Jesus says more. "Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced." One of the scribes over here fires back, "Well, how can that be? You're not even 50 years old. Abraham lived 2,000 years ago. It's impossible for him to have seen your day." That gets some cheers and some jeers from the audience. And that's when Jesus finally and boldly claims, "Before Abraham was, I am." At this point, everyone in the show but Jesus is on their feet, yelling and screaming, picking up their chairs to throw at Jesus. They have their answer. They know exactly what Jesus is saying. They understand who he is claiming to be. Jesus over here is claiming boldly to be God in the flesh. Of course, this doesn't take place the set of a 90s shock show. This all is taking place in Jerusalem in the temple during the first century. But I tell you, the claims that Jesus made there could have easily landed a spot on any one of those shows. Maybe you're like me. Anytime I watched something like that, I wondered, is this for real, right? Are these real situations? Are these real people with real problems? Or is this all just a stage drama to gather viewers? I think the same question could be asked of these claims that Jesus is making. Is this for real? Are his claims for real? Does he believe this? Is it true? Well, let's examine these three bold claims of Jesus, starting with, "Truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who keeps my word will never see death." Now, keep in mind, brothers and sisters in Christ, that there are three types of death that we find in the scriptures. First is physical death, right? When you stop breathing and your heart stops pounding and you are no longer physically alive, you are dead. But there's also a spiritual death, like St. Paul says. Dead in sin, but dead spiritually, and yet still alive physically. And then there is the second death that's referred to in the scriptures, or eternal death, right? That's found in Revelation, and it points to the last day when the dead are raised, and those who are in Christ, they enter into the fullness of life that has already begun, or, apart from Christ, separated in death and despair for all eternity. So just exactly what is Jesus claiming when he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who keeps my word will never see death." Well, it's helpful for us to hear what Jesus says earlier in John's gospel, where he makes another bold claim, where he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Death here is the problem. From Adam and Eve on, death has been part of our existence, and we have become numb to it. We want to sweep it under the rug, we want to ignore it, but it is always there staring us in the face. No one knows when it will come, how it will come, but we can be assured of this, that death will come to us, physical death. And that's a problem. A problem that you and I are powerless to fix. But there's another problem. Though we are physically living, we are spiritually born dead. And left in that spiritually dead condition, if we were to die physically, well, then there would be no hope for us in the second death. Then we would be confirmed to live forever apart from God, along with the demons and the devil. That is a huge problem. See, the scriptures say it just plainly, the wages of sin is death. But that death is physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. That's what makes this claim by Jesus so bold. He claims that anyone who keeps his word will never see death. Well, what does he mean by keep? Abide, remain, believe, and trust in him. That's what keep means. In fact, Jesus is claiming that those who abide, remain, believe, and trust in him now have already passed from death to life. See, Jesus is empathetically declaring that death is the problem, but that he is the only solution. Right? Jesus is claiming to have the power over death. If he claims to have the power over death, he is also claiming to have the power over the source of death, which is sin. And if Jesus is claiming to have the power over sin and physical and spiritual and eternal death, then he is claiming something quite bold and quite unique. He is making a divine claim. Divine, and yet as a man standing in front of these religious leaders. You can begin to see then with greater clarity the utter disbelief of the Jews and their reaction of repulsion, and they wondered out loud, "Who are you?" That's the million-dollar question. Who is Jesus? When the Jews asked the question, "Are you greater than Abraham?" they expected Jesus to kind of back off, to quail a little bit and respond, "Well, no, of course not. That's not what I'm saying. Let me clarify." But that's not the answer that they received. Instead, they heard the second bold claim of Jesus, when he said, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced." What? Which is to say, Abraham heard my word of promise, he saw my work of salvation, and by faith he believed. So yes, Jesus claims, I am greater than Abraham, not because I say so, but because my Father says so. Because I'm revealing who I am to you. The Father is revealing this to you. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is the Father who glorifies me. So Jesus claims to know Abraham and his faith that looked forward to this day. Jesus is claiming to be God. Which leads to the second climax of the section of John and the explicit answer to everyone's question, which is that third bold claim of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And what's so bold about that? Well, proper grammar dictates that the sentence should read, before Abraham was, I was. That is, if Jesus were simply trying to say that he predated Abraham. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Right? So recall Exodus chapter 3, where Moses encounters God in the burning bush. And there God is revealing that he will send Moses to free his people who are enslaved in Egypt. And Moses asks the million-dollar question, who is it that I should say is sending me? Who are you? And God reveals his identity. His name is Yahweh Asher Yahweh. In Hebrew, it literally means the being one, or I am being who I am being. The Greek translation of that in the Old Testament from the Septuagint translates Yahweh Asher Yahweh to Ego Ami Ha'on. I am the being one. Ego Ami, I am Ha'on, the being one. The one who is. And so this is the third bold claim of Jesus. Before Abraham was, ego eimi. I am the one who was with the Father and the Holy Spirit at the creation of the world. I am he. I am. I am the one who revealed myself to Moses in the burning bush. I am the one who called Abraham to sacrifice his son and who provided instead a ram for the sacrifice. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I am God in the flesh who gives my life for yours. This is Jesus' bold claim that he is fully God in the flesh of man, dwelling with his creation to rescue it and redeem it from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Come back with me for a moment to that 90s shock show scene, right? We know that this is all staged, and it's just all to get viewers and ratings. It's not really unlike all the stuff that you see on social media platforms today. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, the scriptures are much different. For they hold forth the truth. They faithfully reveal who Jesus is from Genesis to Revelation, and they point out what he has done for us and for all. They show us the bold claims of Jesus, and that they are trustworthy and that they are true. How can you be sure? Well, consider the one last bold claim of Jesus, not recorded in our reading for today. I referenced it with our kids, right? Jesus said that he would suffer and die, and on the third day that he would rise. That's a bold claim. To be able to rise from the dead. I mean, who has the power to do that? Who would say something like that, right? Well, only God has the power to do that. Jesus said that he would die and rise in 3 days, and that's exactly what he did. In his resurrection from the grave, he demonstrated that he has the power over death, and if over death, then the source of death, which is sin. He went to that cross, he lay in that tomb, and he rose again to prove his power over death and sin for the whole world, for you, and for me. The wages of sin is death, But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He who keeps my word, Jesus claims, will never see death. Now remember, the disciples witnessed the resurrection. 500 others who did as well before they witnessed Jesus' bodily ascension into heaven. And from that point on, the apostles boldly confessed Jesus and his claims of victory over sin, death, and the devil. And remember what happened to those apostles? They were put to death because of it. Right? They didn't proclaim Christ crucified and risen for their own earthly gain or benefit. They did so trusting in Jesus' bold claim of victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil, and over the fact that they themselves have already entered into life with Christ, and trusting and knowing that when they died, they would die in the sure and certain hope of their resurrection as well. Their hope is your hope. See, here is a divine mystery and a bold promise. Eternal life has begun already in you now as you remain in Christ, the Word of God. Right? Eternal life does not begin only after you die, but it has begun already in your baptismal union to Jesus' death and his resurrection. For you were dead in your sin, but now you are alive in Christ. Life eternal has begun now. As Christ remains in you and you in Christ, you walk in newness of life, for Christ lives in you. And so then, if Christ lives in you, you will continue living even though this body physically dies. And his promise is that you will live at rest with Christ in heaven and await from there the day of his glorious return and the resurrection of the dead. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ who now live in Christ, rejoice with Abraham, for you have already seen Jesus' day. These are the bold claims of Jesus. It's not some 90s shock show. This is the gospel truth. Jesus is God, and in him you have life now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.